Welcome to the Near Post Local, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football in the capital region. I'm Peter Funnell. The end of the 2010 season is finally to hand. Junior football ended in heavy rain a couple of weeks ago. State League men's and women's grand finals have been decided and trophies are now on the shelf, though celebrations have probably not ended. The men's and women's Premier League grand finals are to be played this weekend. The men's play on Saturday and the women play on Sunday. 2 days of top-class football. Now, if that's not close to being in heaven, I don't know what is. Tonight's program is properly focused on these men's and women's Premier League grand finals. Now, remember, in the men's, there are four grades. So you've got four games on the Saturday, and the women's have three grades. You've got three games on Sunday. Seven games of outstanding football. We start tonight with the head coach of Tuggeranong United, men's Premier League team, Darren Viskovich. Darren's a very experienced and seasoned campaigner, and he gives an excellent little piece of analysis on the clash between Belconnen United and Canberra FC. As he described the strengths and weaknesses of both teams, two things come to mind. The first is that Darren is a very perceptive coach and did what few have done. He got a draw against Canberra FC, with his team reduced to 9 players for a long period in the second half. He knows how to unravel Canberra FC. Darren put his finger on two weaknesses in Belconnen United. Then it's on to the women's grand final, and we talk to Ed Hollis, head coach of Woden Valley Women's Football Club, and Pat Mills, head coach of Bell West, the two best teams and the two smartest coaches in women's football. Someone has to win the women's grand final, but I have no idea who it will be. It shapes as being an absolute thriller. Get to the grand finals this weekend. Football's the game they play in heaven. Let's now join the discussion I had with Darren Viskovich about the men's Premier League final this coming Saturday. Very interesting little piece of analysis, this. Hope the coaches are listening. As I listened to Darren, the thought suddenly occurred to me. The weaknesses that Darren identified in their playing systems would manifest themselves in recruitment in the off-season. So for all the other coaches and clubs out there, keep hold of your good players. This is what they'll be targeting. That brings us to that game. You're a Premier League coach of note. You've campaigned against both of these teams on many occasions now. What are the relative strengths and weaknesses of the Premier League teams, Belconnen and Canberra FC? Let's start with Belconnen.
Okay, look, I think Belconnen, they've got four or five really, you know, high calibre players in Daniel Makel, Dustin Wells, Matt Valeri, Kempe, and obviously Taylor Beaton, and those five guys are really, really high-level players, and I think if those five guys all play well, I think they can beat any team in the competition, including Canberra Deacon. Yep. So that's obviously their strengths. I think their weakness probably coming to the grand final will probably be in the goalkeeping department. Mm. Obviously, with Ben Chaney and Alex Connell both having injuries this year, the young guy they've got in there, he's been doing well, but just the experience factor alone, I think it's a massive jump in the first grade and coming into a grand final facing the likes of Ivanich and Castro and the Spallettas and whatnot. I think it's going to be a big baptism of fire. So depending how he handles that, may well, you know, literally help Belconnen or might even sink them. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
What do you think of Belconnen's system and style of play? How would you sum that up?
Look, I think they play a very good technical game. I mean, all their players are obviously very experienced, and they've all been around for a number of years. I think they're very comfortable with the ball at their feet. In attack, I mean, they've got sort of four or five really good attacking weapons. Mm. I do think defensively at times that they're probably not as, solid as they probably were a couple of years ago, in the sense that like they probably don't keep as many clean sheets as they used to. But certainly in an attacking sense, I think they're very good with the ball at their feet, and they can certainly score goals. So I do think they play a nice brand of football.
Well, let's switch over to Canberra FC. Could I just, in advance of your comment, say this? In the semi-final,
when Canberra FC won that thriller at Deakin 5-4. I mean, who would have predicted 5-4?
Yeah.
Boy, they're leaking goals at both ends in that game.
They were, yes.
But I really thought that Canberra FC looked a bit aimless there for a while. And boy, oh boy, Belconnen came awfully close to rolling them over.
They did, and I actually wasn't at that game that night. I was actually at the Canberra City Cooma game.
Yep.
But from all reports from neutral people, that they all said Belconnen probably should have won.
Mm.
But unfortunately, many a time the Deakin have been, you know, under the hammer or on the ropes, and not many teams have put them away over the years. So Belconnen might be better for the experience, and next week, if they're winning, they might go on with it. But certainly Deakin has a habit of just being able to score more goals on the opposition,
putting your coach's hat on, what are the strengths and weaknesses of Canberra FC as you've campaigned against them this year?
Look, I think their strengths are, to an extent, probably unlike Belconnen, because Belconnen plays quite a structured attacking game. Deakin's a lot more off the cuff, and it's a lot more unpredictable.
Yep.
They've got four really great players in John Glass, Adam Spalletta, Paul Ivanich and Alex Castro. Those four guys are probably four of the best players in the competition.
Oh, are they ever? Yeah.
But they're all, to an extent, also individuals, and one of them more often than not pulls a rabbit out of the hat.
Yep.
But Belconnen tends to more structure things as a team, and you know, although Dustin Wells and Maycor are a good individual players too, they still rely on service from other players. Whereas those four guys that I've mentioned, you know, they can just do anything on the moment. Like Castro can just pop up and score a goal. Ivanich can do it, Spalletta can do it, and John Glass can just, you know, do anything.
Mm.
So they're such an individual team, and at times those sort of teams you can dominate for a period, but sooner or later one of them will do something magic that is hard to often coach against, because you don't know what they're going to do, and you've really just got to be on top of them for the full 90 minutes. If you're not, you might watch three of them, but the fourth one will just pop up somewhere and hurt you. So I think they're just very unpredictable, and it's hard to keep them quiet for the full game. So that's their strengths.
Yeah.
Obviously a lot of goal scoring. I do think their weaknesses, I do think their fitness and they're probably, maybe even their will to win, I dare say, Peter. Look, they've obviously won a lot of grand finals over the last couple of years, and that in itself, that same group of players, that they look like they maybe don't have the passion that they've had maybe last year and previous years, I dare say. Look, I'm sure on grand final day they'll lift, and who knows, maybe they might lift and carry the trophy off again. But I think that probably certainly Belconnen's a much fitter side.
Mm.
If it comes down to legs and running, you know, who wants it more? I would have to probably say Belconnen would probably want it more.
Mm.
But just for that sheer X factor, Deakin, as always, on the day, you know, that they can just do anything, and that's probably their best advantage, that even if they play below their best, any one of those four guys can just do something to turn the game for them.
Shutting down all four of them's awfully hard, isn't it?
It is, and to an extent, I mean, I know from experience, and I know you know, whenever I've got a result against them, like with the 2-2 draw this year, and in my time with ANU, I managed to get a couple of draws against them.
Yeah. What was the key to that?
I think you've actually got to attack them. I think if you try and sit back and defend, they will just go over the top of you. But when you attack them, and when you take the ball forward, you tire those players out a little bit, and if you turn the ball over in their half, they can't hurt you as much as it was if they get the ball in your half, 30 or 40 metres from goal, you're in trouble. So I dare say, you know, I think any team, and Belconnen I'm sure will do this on Sunday, you know, if they can attack and keep those guys pressed in their own half, that is the key to keeping Deakin, at bay. So.
Well, I think your comment about fitness was very obvious, I thought, in extra time, because Belconnen really did step up a gear.
They did. And I know, Peter, when we played them about 4 or 5 weeks ago, when we had a 2-2 draw with them, we only had 9 men for a large part of the second half.
Yep.
And my 9 guys were running better than their 11 in terms of, obviously they're still a great team. They've got good ball players, but in terms of their running capacity, they didn't look as sort of sharp, as fit as probably you would expect the first grade side to be. be, but they rely a lot on the ball players, and that's how they play, and they're getting results, so it still obviously works for them. So,
yeah, they are, and a lot of it has to do with the very thing you pointed out, the able to create something and deliver a wonder strike against the run of play, yes, sometimes, but at times when you least expect it. Oh, my mind goes back to their game against Kerma, the last time they played them, and Kerma must have thought they had them on toast. Until Spalletta delivered a wonder strike from so far out, you needed binoculars to see it.
Yeah, and that often happens.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, many a time I've seen them play, you know, whichever team it is, and the other team can be on top of them and dominating, but they just have this knack. When they go forward, inevitably they will get a shot on goal, and with those good plays, inevitably, you know, it's on target, and unless the goalkeeper deals with it, you know, chances are that they will convert their chances at a higher ratio to probably any other team. I mean, they just don't miss, you know, those one-on-ones, they probably get one out of two. You know, other teams might be, you know, one out of three, and the lower teams might be one out of five.
Absolutely.
Whereas Deakin, give them a chance, the ball's in the net more often than not. So,
and now we're back to that issue for Belconnen, goalkeeper.
Yes. And as I said,
on that stat, it's got to be a real problem, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, in Deakin's side of things, I mean, Ben Clugg is a pretty experienced goalkeeper, so he's pretty reliable.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's playing behind a good team, but still, you know, when need be, he does a good job. But on the other end, young Rowan, it's Rowan Shepherd, I think it is.
Yes.
He looks like a good young keeper, but you know, obviously, first couple of games in first grade, the tail end of the season's always tough.
Yeah.
You know, and as we both know from our respective clubs, young guys, they do take, you know, a dozen or so games to really get their feet.
They've got mistakes in them.
So, yeah, and unfortunately, being a goalkeeper, there's nowhere to hide.
It's true, you know, it's awful.
At least as a player, you know, if you miskick a ball or you do a bad pass, maybe you can chase it and maybe get it back. But as a goalkeeper, once the shot's coming on goal, once it's in the net, there's nowhere else to go. So it's certainly going to be tough for him. But look, I mean, I actually watched the game last night. I thought he had a reasonably good game last night. So I'm sure he's, you know, learning on the job, and also Belconnen themselves. I mean, they've got a lot of experienced players there, and I noticed on a couple of occasions, you know, guys like Matt Valeri and Daniel Maycor had a word to him, and they settled him down. And obviously, with those very experienced players in the team, I'm sure he will confidence from that you know. So, you know,
so I'm going to put you on the spot, mate. Who do you reckon's going to win?
Okay, look. I'm going to say two things, and then I will give you an answer. I will give you a tip, but just before I do, I think it's one of those games where really it is going to be a very, very close game.
Yep.
I probably would expect probably another, maybe a few goals in it. Maybe not 5-4, but maybe yes, but I do think there will be a few goals.
Yep.
I think both teams, the way they're playing at the moment, their attacks are certainly flowing and goals will come.
Yeah.
Defensively, both sides have been leaking goals, so I don't think that will change on Sunday.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say something. I think the team that scores first will probably go on with it. Based on what I've seen over the last two to 3 weeks, I just think on the 90 minutes of the game, I think Deakin will probably just lift a gear, and they might, with the week off this weekend just gone, that week off, the enthusiasm of winning in grand final, you know, I think they might just have enough to get over the line in a one-off game.
Mm.
Belconnen obviously has played two extra times in 2 weeks now.
Yes, they have, yeah.
You know, like against Deakin, it would have been pretty demoralising losing 5-4.
Oh, yeah.
Last night against Cooma, it was a pretty hard game. Now, I'm sure they will have a recovery week, and I'm sure they'll be up for it. But I just think in a one-off game, I just have to stick with Deakin and think they might, that they might just have enough. And especially, I mean, I haven't seen the lineups, but if Paul Ivanich does play, which I believe he will, I think could well be probably the one to make the real difference. So I'm probably just going to stick with Deakin just for that fact alone. So
can't argue against your analysis, coach.
Well, look, I mean, if I'm wrong, on a personal note, I mean, I'm a good friend of Scott Conlon, so
yeah.
I would be very happy if Belconnen do win for him.
Yeah.
So certainly, either way, you know, as long as it's a good game, I'm happy. So, but I will stick with Deakin just from a percentage point of view. So, yeah.
Well, mate, that's great. Tuggeranong's had a good season.
Yeah, no, it's been a good one. So I'm enjoying the break now, and then we'll look forward to next year. So,
you're heading into the summer 20s?
Well, the club will be. I actually won't be involved, Peter, because I'm actually going overseas shortly. I have a little bit of involvement in the Summer 20s, helping it get off the ground in terms of training and preparation, but in terms of actually participating, I actually won't be involved. So, but the club's certainly looking forward to it, because we've got some really good young talent, and hopefully, you know...
Oh, you do, indeed.
With the Summer Tournament, I think it was a great success last year, and I'm hoping more than four teams will get involved this year, and then hopefully it'll be a good tournament, and I look forward to hopefully hearing Tuggeranong's done well, fingers crossed.
Oh, I think you'll do well, all right. Darren, thank you very much. Wonderful season. We now have the fearless predictions of a Premier League coach. We'll just see how it unfolds, and if we're wrong, well, it doesn't matter. There's always another game.
That's right, yeah. Well, we'll be out there on Sunday. I'll be there early watching all four games.
I'm looking forward to the day.
So, yeah, it should be great.
See you later, Darren.
See you. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Bye.
I'm talking to Ed Hollis. He's the head coach of Woden Valley Women's Football Club, and they've got substantial representation in the grand finals on Sunday next. Ed, you must be feeling pretty good.
Oh, certainly after the weekend's game, Peter. We're very, very happy with the results in our under-18s. We got pipped on the post by Bill Connan in reserve grade, and then very happy with the first grade results against Bill Connan as well. So all in all, 2 out of 3 is not too bad. Asked us at the beginning of the year if we'd be happy with that. We certainly are. So, looking forward to the grand final.
I think it's a sensational result for women's football. It's a solid performance across all the Premier League grades.
Certainly. Some good teams and some good football on show there on the weekend. And as you can see, I know a couple of matches went to penalties, so there's a couple of teams that missed out on the, on getting there just on penalties. So it shows the closeness of the competitions, that's for sure. So even in reserve grade, we were minor premiers and we lost to Bell Connan, who came fourth. And certainly Bell Connan were worth their win on the weekend, and it just shows you how close the competitions are across the board.
Yes, indeed. Look, the Premier League preliminary final between Woden Valley and Bell Connan was a game that I thought ended up a lot further apart than a few of us predicted. Bell Connan seemed to be a team that were gathering steam, but... Boy, you finished them off in good style.
Well, I think Bell Connan has always been that side. I've always thought that they were the sleeping giants of the competition in Premier League. I thought that they certainly weren't playing well at the beginning of the year, and they dropped some points that they probably shouldn't have, and I was certainly very, very wary of them. And I was really hoping to come one and hoping that we didn't get to play them in the semis, because I certainly did fear them. And certainly with someone like Caitlin Munoz playing with them, they can score from virtually anywhere in our inside-out defensive zone. And I really was considerably concerned about playing them. We played them a couple of weeks ago at McKellar, which was a big park for us, and it was a fairly much even 1-1 draw, so certainly they were an opposition to be feared. I think, Peter, we were a little bit lucky. We got a couple of early goals that the ball ran our way, and I think it really put them on the back foot. They certainly didn't, no coach wants to be 2-0 down inside the first 10 minutes, and I think... again, the ball bounced our way. We got a couple of lucky goals early on, and that sort of gave our younger kids the drive and an impetus to keep going. And I think that's, we were very lucky to get those two goals. In the end, we did play well, but I think the lucky early goals certainly helped us.
It certainly makes a difference. You're coming up against Bell West Foxes, the team that's took a massive early lead in the Premiership, but as the weeks have gone on, their lead has been mowed down. And the gap now is as good as nothing, as far as I can see.
Well, it was down to 1 point. They certainly did a job on us in the Federation Cup, and they did a job on us in the first two rounds of the competition. But in the third round, I think we matched them physically for the first time. And we're a very skillful side, and if we do match them physically and we don't get, we're in their faces as much as they are in ours, then we stand an even chance of success against them, that's for sure. But, I mean, they're a very good side. They're worthy champions of the league and deserve that, because they have been so consistent. But I guess we give ourselves an even 50-50 chance of the grand final once you get there, Peter.
Oh, absolutely. If you're not there, you can't win.
That's right. So, all things being equal, it's a grand final. Anything can happen. So if we play at our best, I think we've got a shot of beating them. If we don't, well, then we'll probably come up short. But in the end, it's up to our players to perform as best they can, and then we'll certainly give them a run for their money.
Look, and I think you've touched on the really important point. The Federation Cup, your team's built and gained over the many months of the competition. You got nailed badly in the Federation Cup, but with every game, and you had the virtue of three rounds, and by the end of the third time you played them, you had a fair bead on how you could go against them.
Yeah, look, I think I've spoken to a number of coaches in the Premier League, and most of them don't seem to enjoy playing the number of games that we've played this year. And
is that right?
They're not happy. The two coaches I've spoken to and some of the teams have said that they're not happy with the 21 games. They prefer the smaller season. But, look, I really think we need to be playing as many games as we can to improve the quality of football. And, it is taxing on every club, and you need a good junior base. And, again, we're lucky at Woden having a really good squad of players that have covered us to cover all the injuries that those extended games have brought about. But So I guess in some ways we're a bit luckier than some of the other clubs. But I certainly think that the 21 games is much, much better than the 15-game competition. It has given us a chance. We decided that we wanted to play the 4-3-3 system, and it has taken us a while to get. And we're looking at this as a three-year project, Peter. And our girls are just starting to play really well in that system. So it has taken us a long time, and I think we've actually got better with every game, and the girls are now confident in playing the system. They understand the system and they trust the system and believe in it. Whereas at the beginning of the year, and particularly with Fed Cup, when we went a couple of goals down, there was a few girls that dropped into old habits and started wanting to play with the sweeper. And so having the number of games we've had now and the success of the team, having only lost two games throughout the whole year, the actual players have faith in the system now. And so we know that works for us with the type of players we have. So, mate, we're very happy that there is 21 rounds. We think it's fantastic, and I certainly hope Capital Football don't change that.
Well, I just think it's a winning recipe. I can understand, I guess, the coaches that might find it a bit difficult, but I think you've hit on the underpinning concern. You really have to have a structure sitting underneath you.
Look, certainly. I think, and I think probably our reserve grade has paid the price for that. I think we counted, we had 12 or 13 players missing from our starting number that we had at the beginning of the year, and just about all of those were reserve grade and fringe first grade players.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where we've probably come up a little bit short towards the end of the season. But again, we've had the depth to cover that. So, you know, I think that it is important that all clubs find that depth and they need it in that 21-game season, but it certainly sorts people out, that's for sure.
Well, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the way Woden Valley Women's Football Club has conducted itself this season. You got a plan. You've developed a system and style of play that's consistent with the FFA's direction, which you're giving the young players the best chance they can. And in a three-round competition, you campaigned and got better. Gee, great season, Ed.
Well, look, I guess at the beginning of the season, the coaching staff, and we've got five people on the coaching staff, and I do need to mention them. Tom Crosley, there is Peter Cromer, Peter White, and Vince Taglieri. And we sat down with the coaching staff and decided, well, what were our aims this year? And really our aims were particularly to introduce the 4-3-3 system, but also the major aim was to win the club championship, which is what we've succeeded in doing, and then to get as many of our players at the highest representative honours as we can. And I think having won the club championship, if you look at our players, I think we had 12 out of the 16 in the schoolgirls side that went away.
Yes.
Two of those now are in the Australian schoolgirls team, Ash Palombi and Sally Rosen. I think we contributed, I think, about 70% of the girls that went away to 15s and 17s nationals. We've got a good representation in ACTAS, and hopefully when Ray Junior names his W League side, we might squeak a couple of our young players into that squad as well. So, look, that was what we were aiming for. So we've virtually said to all of our teams that we've achieved everything that we wanted to achieve, and anything we get from now on is a bonus. So, we're really happy to be in two grand finals. If they come our way, that's fantastic. If not, we still see the season as being an absolute, you know, a great result for our club and just a stepping stone in the development of women's football for us.
Oh, I think it's absolutely true. Grand finals are good theatre, but it's all of the stuff that went before that makes a good season.
Certainly, and I think if you have a look at the way our 18s are playing football, they don't win every game, but they play a great brand of football.
Yes.
They're playing the ball out from the back. They're trying to play through the middle. they're playing, when they play well, they're a great side to watch, our 18s, and again, hopefully we will be developing some of those players. We'll be pushing on and really putting the pressure on reserve graders and first graders next year as the next band of young kids comes through at Woden for us.
Great season, Ed. Good to talk to you. All the best for the grand final, but it's a winner anyway.
Thanks for your support, Pete. It's been
great. That's all right, mate. I'm talking to Pat Mills. He's the head coach of Bell West Foxes. And Bell West have dominated the Women's Premier League Championship in 2010. They got off to a flying start, got so far ahead no one could see them, and crossed the line with trophy in hand, and now are in the grand final to play Woden Valley, the pretenders to the throne. How are you, Pat?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you very much, Peter. And yourself?
Pretty good, mate. Tell me how you think it's going.
Oh, I think it's been excellent. It's been a long season, but that's what we all wanted, more football for everybody.
You like the three rounds, mate?
I do, personally, yes. I'm not so sure others do, but the more football, the better, I reckon.
Well, I find it's interesting, Pat, that you and your colleague at Woden Valley, Ed Hollis, are agreed on one thing, that three rounds is good for football, and it's no coincidence that your two teams, and yours in particular, have enjoyed massive success in 2010.
It's been a great year for us, that's for sure. It mustn't take anything for granted. Still one more game to go.
Oh, that's true enough, isn't it? That's true enough. But you must be happy with the consistency your team's produced over a long season.
Absolutely. You know, we started the Fed Cup way back in January, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're now going into September, and I think it's two losses in all that time. So it's been a fantastic
performance
for them from the girls, you know.
Gee, they must be confident.
I think so, yes. There's a steely edge to them, but, they do believe in themselves.
How did you find your game yesterday with Western Creek, the one that got you the grand final?
It was a tough one, really, because we played them the week before and, you know, the league record against them has been pretty comprehensive. So it was really making sure that the girls' heads were in the right space and they knew it. They were talking themselves up of how the game is important, you know, get off to a strong start. Mm. We know our strengths and what other teams don't like about us. So let's make sure that we do that, not underestimate them. And, yeah, we got off to a flyer. You know, we scored in 6 minutes and... I think the second goal was 10 minutes later, so the nerves had gone, we were on top, and we were able to keep on building.
Isn't that a strange outcome, because that was a very similar start to Woden's start on the field nearby.
That's right, it happens so often, doesn't it? You know, you've got to get on top early.
Yeah, that must be an issue between you two teams on Saturday. Someone is going to try and... arm wrestle early.
That's right. Yeah.
Am I reading too much into this?
Oh, who knows? That's right. You know, each game's been different with us over the year, hasn't it? You know,
it has,
the cup final, we steamrolled them. The earlier games, you know, they got closer and closer, and then they took us in the last time we played. So, you know, I think it'll be an excellent game, and I must admit, I do think the two best football teams are in there as well, which is the bit that I'm really pleased about.
I think you're absolutely right there. You're different in style.
They've got their structure and we've got ours. It'll be interesting to see how they pull up, you know, contrast of styles, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, mate. Very much so.
Both teams play a good, fast game, though. Mm.
Yeah, they do, and both teams are loaded with talent. Yours certainly is.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely. Canberra United girls, local representative girls.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic little team.
Just to roll back on an issue I know we've spoken of before, the decision by the head coach of ACTAS, Ray Juna, to enable the ACTAS and W League players to participate in the Women's Premier League competition really has been a bonus, hasn't it?
In my opinion, yeah, I definitely think so. You know, it can still be improved upon, I think, to be perhaps a bit fairer for all. But they've been great for the competition. they've had to keep their standards high as well. You know,
yes.
You don't want a W League player who, oh, okay, so she's supposed to be this great player, but she didn't do much in that, you know. So
yeah.
the pressure was on them, and I think they all performed admirably in
yes.
The girls that we've had have been fantastic. They're good role models. Mm. Their contribution to the team has been excellent in the game stuff as much as off the park. You know, they've really fitted in well with us. It's been fantastic for us.
Oh, well, as a spectator, mate, it's a real tonic to see these players going around in the local
Oh, absolutely, that's right.
Can you divulge any secrets to the near past listener on the game ahead, mate? There's only you and I listening, mate.
Absolutely, you know, that's right. We'll be giving it our best shot with everything we've got, all guns blazing.
Ah, so you're out of the box to get control of the game early.
We'll be trying, yes.
Oh, that's a great way to start. Gee, I'm looking forward to this game, mate.
Yes, I am as well. You know, it's great. Ed and Tom out there and all the other coaches. You know, it's been a good coaching network in Canberra. It's been fantastic, actually. Everybody's so friendly and helpful to each other. So that's half of the fun of it, I think.
I reckon you're right. And of course, it goes without saying, but I think it needs to be said, that the grand final is a good game, but it's icing on the cake. You've got a trophy on the table, and that sure is impressive.
Yep, no, that's right. We're playing for the pot of silver at the end there. That's right.
Well done, Pat. It's been a great season, and it's been a pleasure to see your team play.
Thank you, and thank you for the support that you've put into the women's game and soccer in general in Canberra. You know,
that's all right, mate.
More and more people that listen to the show is fantastic.
All right, mate. Thank you, and good luck.
Thanks, and all the best.
Well, that's it for the Near Post Local. If you want this podcast, go to www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You'll find a lot of other interesting materials around football there for your consumption. Enjoy your football and futsal. See you next time. Ta-da. Streets.